Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, filmmakers and moviegoers alike. My name is Jared, and I will be your host for this episode. I am beyond honored and grateful that you have joined me at the table today. Today, I'm at the feature table, where I will be looking at Roll Camera, the filmmaking board game. Game design and artwork, both created by Malachi Ray Rempin, and published by Keen Bean Studio. Roll Camera, the filmmaking board game, is a 1-6 player cooperative dice placement game where players are working together as various members of a film production team attempting to save their butts in the world of Hollywood as they are trying to save a dying film franchise. They will negotiate set placements, get ideas from the storyboard all the way to the editing room, navigate new ideas as a team, and resolve those pesky ongoing problems that are, of course, inevitable on any and every movie set. The goal is to create 5 movie scenes while staying on schedule and within budget, and of course, it doesn't matter at all. Unless you have the quality of greatness of a Christopher Nolan film, or, like a Michael Bay Transformers movie, the quality of It's So Bad That It's Good. Let's review Roll Camera, the filmmaking board game. Hello, everyone. It's just me today. I do want to go ahead and apologize. We have a gnarly storm going on, and today is my only day to record, so you're just going to have to roll with it. See what I did there? It's a dice pun. You're welcome. I'll be here all week. All right, so let's get into it. I have been very interested in this game for a very long time. I'm not going to lie to you. I knew so little about what this game actually did for most of the time that I was interested in it. But I love the theme, and I was drawn to it. And honestly, I'm bummed it took me as long as it did to get around to actually playing it. But I do want to go ahead and mention before I forget, a big thank you to Keen Bean Studio for providing a review copy for us. Very kind of them, and happy to provide a full review in return for all of you listeners. As you know, whether it's a review copy or one that we purchase with our hard-earned cash, we do provide a honest and full review. So with that, let's dive into it. I will give a quick overview of how to play. I'm not going to go into all the nitty-gritty details, but we'll do enough so that you get an idea of what I am talking about. And then we will discuss some thoughts. All right, so as I mentioned in the intro of Roll Camera, the filmmaking board game, this is a 1-6 player cooperative dice placement game. You are working together with the goal of trying to get those 5 scenes made before your scheduling time or your budget run out. If either one does run out before you make that 5th scene, then you do automatically lose the game. Also, as we mentioned, there is a quality component. You can't just be making some kind of willy-nilly nonsense 5 scenes. They've got to have some quality to them. You start out in the middle of what is referred to as a red section of quality. This is bad. You don't want to be in the red section of quality. As you make certain choices throughout the game, you could improve your quality. And other choices that are not as wise might ruin your quality. And you want to be able to make sure that you are getting out of the red zone to either end up having a film that is close to a masterpiece. Each player will take on a different role. That role might be the producer or the editor or the cinematographer, production designer, director, or my personal favorite, the one that makes the movie go, the star. So these different roles have different abilities that you could assign dice to be able to create different actions that can be used. You don't have to use any particular role. Any of the roles can be used, no matter what the player count is. You just pick one. Each one does something different. Then, I'm basically going to go through a turn. Okay, so on a turn, you will draw a problem card every single turn for every single player. And these problems will have some way of affecting the game, whether costing you money or making something more difficult to make or whatever it may be. And these problems, until you deal with them, not only do they not go away, but they get harder to fix. They do require some of your dice to be able to fix them. And once you do fix them, they go away. Fix enough problems, and you can recover some money or time. And there's various ways to regroup some of these resources throughout the game to allow for more time or money depending on your needs. After you figure out what the new problem is, you slide the next problem down. You will have three problems that can be ongoing at any given point. You could also have less if you are resolving them as you go. Then you roll your crew dice. There is a pool of six dice that you'll get to use, but there are certain dice that will be tied up on set as you are trying to make various shapes to be able to complete various aspects in the storyboard. Now, what I mean by that is you're going to have these little set pieces that are going to be that you are going to assign to various parts of the set. And these pieces basically create your scene. And your scene is what is needed to create the actual shots for the storyboard for that particular scene itself. I think I said all that right. I don't know. There's a lot of words in there. Anyways, once you line up the dice with the correct symbols in the correct way, then you complete that particular storyboard card and it moves over to your editing room. Now, you do also have a script that you must follow, and this script is going to have limitations for how your editing room is going to look. So you want to be careful about which storyboard cards you complete at which point so that you're not getting penalized for anything in your script, or you might receive a particular bonus if you have certain types of scenes that are lined up next to each other. So outside of moving your storyboard cards and moving around your set pieces and solving problems, you also might want to have a production meeting, because what a production meeting does is it allows three players to come together and present ideas to be able to assist the team. Now, of these ideas, everybody has three idea cards in their hand at all times. Some players might be vying more for being part of a production team or production meeting given a particular round, depending on what they think would be most helpful. The reason I say that is everyone in the meeting of those three players is going to submit one card face down, and that's all going to be revealed simultaneously to the active player. One of those ideas is going to be implemented immediately. One idea is going to be saved to be potentially used later on, also by allocating dice to that particular card. And one idea is immediately scrapped and not ever to be used. So you want to be careful about which ideas are presented when, because you don't want to submit three good ideas, because then one good idea never makes it past the production meeting floor. And that's tragic. There's a couple other small things that you can do outside of having all of those things implemented. You have an intern that you could change one dice to another, but you are burning a dice to do that. So it's a give and take there. But then once you've rolled your dice and you've assigned them, then you move into clearing off any crew dice that might have been used but are no longer going to be used into the next round. Again, the only dice that stay are the ones that are on set, and a player can choose to pull those dice up and re-roll them if they need to, but that is kind of the core part of the game that you're trying to make sure that you complete, because you need those storyboard pieces moved over to your editing room again. Once all that is done, you've cleared off the dice that need clearing, then you advance your schedule and pass the dials to the next player so that they can begin their turn in likewise order. Play continues like this until five scenes are created, or you run out of money, or you run out of time. Problems can create problems for you, but they can't end the game by themselves. So those problems can stack up, but every production needs money and it needs time. Once the game is over, then you go through your scenes. You check your quality after going through those five scenes and figuring out getting to see your movie unfold. And then you determine if you win or lose together. So with that said, let's talk about this game. All right, so I know this is going to surprise everyone, but I've never been on a film set. But I've always liked the idea of it. Well, I take that back. I did It's not a typical movie production film set, but I did operate the news in high school. And I would get to operate. We operated both front of camera and back of camera. And we did the editing if we ever did anything that needed to be edited that wasn't live. So I have had a little bit of getting to kind of build a standard set and then also positioning those cameras in the right spot. So that was pretty cool. I've always been really fascinated with the idea of a film production studio, though. The ways that you have to think about where the mics go and how the camera's set up and making sure that everything feels just right so that you get that scene correct. And I think about that when I watch particular movies. I know that not everybody watches this show. There's a particular scene in the TV series The Chosen where they, I forget how long it is, but I remember seeing this scene in real time and knowing nothing about it ahead of time. It was a multiple minute scene where it was all taken in one take. There's no cuts to another shot. There's no anything. It's just the camera continuing to navigate around to various conversations going on in this little, it's a camp, basically. And so you're looking at the various followers of Christ, and they're talking through their various discussions. But just the cinematography of watching the camera shift, and you have to shift in such a way where not only are you getting the right angle for the shot itself, but you also have to set up the entire set so that you don't catch anything in the background that isn't part of the scene. And that's very difficult to do. And I remember pausing and telling Anna, I was like, Anna, like, I can't even begin to describe the difficulty of that because of how long it was and how much movement that the camera angles had. Another one I think about with camera angles is in, I know the new Jurassic Parks are dumb. Okay. I get it. They're terrible. But the one, I forget what it's called. It's the one where the stupid raptor responds to someone shooting a laser at the target, and then the raptor goes and eats the target. It's stupid. You could just shoot the person with an actual gun instead of pointing a laser at whatever. It doesn't matter. The thing I liked about that movie was the cinematography as well. I mean, it the way the camera turns and the angles and all of that, it just really, it makes the raptor feel threatening. And I find stuff like that so cool when I'm watching movies or TV shows. One more I'll throw out there. It's not even really one. Actually, you know what? I will point out a new one. So in theaters right now is a horror movie called Obsession. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. Horror films are so fascinating because the ones that are done really well, you really like camera angles and knowing how to adjust the scene's lighting and things like that. That's what makes the movie. I mean, the script can help, obviously, and good acting can help. But I mean, if you think about a lot of horror films, not all of them have the best acting. Now, I think Obsession absolutely did. When you think about like the quality of what gets you to jump and what gets your blood pumping, it's the lighting, it's the angle, it's all of that. And so all of that just really fascinates me. So sorry for nerding out on you for a minute. This is also confession time for either new listeners or I don't even know if I've said this. I think I have. I mean, it's one of the staple things that I tell people. And so most people know it that know me. When Christopher Nolan made the Dark Knight trilogy, I fell in love. So I went to the movie theater to see The Dark Knight over 11 times. I was in college. It was back when I had money and could do things like that before I started having a family and things like that. And now my money goes to things like chicken coops. But regardless, big movie fan. And so diving into this game, it's really interesting because I want to start by just talking about the theme itself, because that's what drew me into the game. I think the theme is there. And I think that as I'm moving pieces around a set and as I'm picking out which storyboard pieces I want to move over into the room that really fit with what the movie I'm trying to make, it really feels like I'm on set. Now, it's interesting because I mentioned that after playing with Ian, who couldn't be with me tonight, but he mentioned that he didn't necessarily feel that as much. He felt more like he was just placing dice and kind of moving things around. And I think that's fine. I think some of it does have to do with how interested you are in the theme. Because like with all games, like when you're thinking about the theme, if you understand some of the mechanics behind it and what happens in real life, then you can kind of get an idea of what's actually going on and get a little bit deeper immersion. I loved it. It felt very much like you're a indie filmmaker and you're kind of trying to put together this goofy film, whether it's really good or really bad, that's good. Either way, it like felt like, I don't know, I made a funny quip in the intro that it's, you know, you're trying to make a Christopher Nolan movie. I mean, kind of, but like, at the same time, like, you look at the scenes, you're like, ah, it's kind of goofy, which is fun. I like it. I almost felt more like, I felt kind of like Abed from Community, where he makes his movies, and I'm like, that's kind of like what we're doing here. I'm Abed, but I've been given a studio, basically. So I really enjoyed that, the theme aspect. I really think that it comes through. Talking about the components, the dice are really well made, and I felt, I mean, you want dice to feel nice and chunky, but at the same time, not overly so that they don't fit in your hands. And I felt like the dice fit in a good spot there where I can see all the symbols clearly. I can roll them, and they have a good bounce to them and that sort of thing. All the cards, great material, great quality. I did get the version where it opens and closes like a movie clapper. I both love it, and it also freaks me out. We were joking when we were playing it one time. It's almost like the old lollipop commercial with Mr. Owl of how many licks it takes to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop. And I'm like, how many times can I open this box before this top falls off? Now, I think that's just a personal insecurity of mine because I'm opening and closing it right now, and it's solid. Like, it's definitely there. I will say I'm always very gentle when I open it because that's the part that freaks me out the most is if I just rip it back and it doesn't like I don't know. I don't know why not, what I've got in my head that I'm going to do to this box that I wouldn't do to any other game, but it still freaks me out a little bit. But it's really cool. I love the theme of it. And then you have all the components inside of a film reel tray is what it looks like. Everything holds together pretty well. It is built with expansions in mind, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you don't have the expansions, then the cards and stuff do jostle around a little bit when you've got the game on its side because the game has to stand up to be the design that it is. I think one of my favorite components is the dial. So the dial that I talked about that you pass is what measures your budget and schedule. It's a double dial, so you've got the schedule on one side and the budget on the other. And if you flip it over at the beginning of the game, you'll use that to set your difficulty based on your player count. So it has the easy, normal, hard, and then it also has the little player counts next to them. And I find that to be such a cool and innovative concept that I wish more games would use that have dials because it makes it so easy instead of having to go back through a rule book, which in this rule book, it's also great quality and it's laid out very well. It was very easy for me to find anything that I needed to. But this dial, I love that I don't have to go searching through a rule book to see what my difficulty is going to be based on the player count that I have. I can just decide right there and it's set and ready to go. Such a cool idea. The set pieces that I referenced, they are little 2x2 squares, and they are different depending on which tile you draw, obviously. They don't want to be the same because that would be boring. They have various bonuses and obstacles that you're going to have to work around to be able to know where you can place your dice, and there's some fun theme on there as well. And I feel like it is what it needs to be so that you can still functionally put dice on it, but it adds a little bit of flavor to it as well. The artwork is all very cute. It's very cartoonish and very much fits the vibe of this game, and I very much appreciate it. As far as what I was kind of drawn to the most mechanics-wise as I kind of got into it, I love that you have asymmetric characters so that everyone kind of has a little bit of a thing that they can do on their board without it being too much. I love that it's an easy entry point, that you can really get people into the game quickly. I love that you have 6 dice. And I say that because there's choices about what you can do on your turn, but I also think that there's some primary choices and secondary choices. And six dice feels like the right amount of dice to be able to really get that balance of deciding when I want to go for those secondary things versus committing hard to the primary actions that I need to be focusing on as a team so that we can complete our objectives. I also love the quality track. It would be really easy to just say you need to make sure and get five scenes in this particular order before you run out of time or money, but instead taking it a step further to make sure you follow your script and that you have this quality marker that you have to achieve. I really like that as well. And then there's even more things that you can add on in some of the mini expansions in the base game itself, which I'll talk about as well, that add a little bit more of a challenge. And I really like that there's a lot of variability in script, storyboards, lots of different tiles for your set pieces. I maybe would like a few more set pieces. I think that's the only one where it feels a little bit tight. But even that's not too bad. One of the other mechanics that I really enjoy is the production meeting. I love this concept of ideas being brought to the table of how we can improve, how we can fix either the budget or the schedule or the film itself or whatever it may be. And then the tension of trying to decide which three players go to the meeting. Because I can call for the production meeting on my turn, but then if I'm playing a four-player game, I don't have to go to the meeting. I could have the other three do it and let them commit their ideas. And there's kind of, you know, it's kind of understood what the conversation is supposed to be about, what's in your hand and what's not, so that you're not giving away too much information and cheating, but also kind of hinting like, hey, I could throw this card, or this card would be really good for later on, or something like that. But you're not quite sure. We even had some instances where somebody was sure their idea should happen now, but then somebody else presented something that was better. And it was like, okay, well, we want both of these, but we're actually going to use this one now and this one later. And so those ideas can kind of pivot and change once everyone kind of sees the cards. So I would say the idea production meeting was one of my favorite parts. It really just kind of brings the whole game together, where it's more than just assigning some dice. You're having to make some real decisions about what you want to do to kind of alter the game state a little bit. I did like that, as I mentioned earlier, we do have asymmetric powers. They're not overwhelming. There's a small thing that each of them can do, and then there's some other things that all of them can do. And they all have a dice face that they like best. And I think that that's really fun. I think that's a way of incorporating the mechanics into the theme and also giving you something that nobody else can do. And that always just feels, I think it adds something and it feels nice. As far as what this game is lacking, I don't know. Like, I know that I'll go ahead and touch on some of the expansions. You get a lot of more stuff in the expansions is what it seems like. I haven't actually opened them up. I don't have them, but kind of reading their descriptions, it sounds like you get a lot more, and which I think is cool. The two things that I wish were a little bit different, and I'm not smart enough to know how you would do this, but as I was playing the game, there were points where I was like, man, I feel like the storyboard cards that we have, I don't want them, but I don't know how to get rid of them. And I know there were a couple of players that could alter parts of the game. So I think the star could edit one half of the script to give you kind of something new. And the editor could move around scenes in the editing room, which is helpful. There were points where it wasn't even really a game mechanic issue. It was more of a, this isn't the movie I want to make, but I have to kind of work with these scenes. And that kind of pulled me out just a little bit of what I wanted the game to be. It's not really a huge thing, but it is one of those things where, like, you're beholden to what comes out and you got to work with that, which is a good thing in some ways, but also something that you got to be aware of in a creative space like this, where you kind of get hooked on the theme. You kind of get into, I want this kind of movie based on what I've been given. And you can't always do that to the full extent that you'd want to. The other thing that I really kind of felt that way is with the script itself. So there's a ton of script cards, even in the base game. And I get why. It definitely adds to the replayability. But there's also points where I'm like, man, I really wish there was more script than just these two. And again, like, I think it just is what it is. But it's just something to keep in mind. And then the other thing, I don't know. I really like a lot of what else is going on here. I like the way that you... I like the way the board's laid out. The board really gives a clear indicator of where everything is supposed to be. You don't need like a special playmat to figure all that out. You don't just kind of put things off to the side. Everything has a place. And I love that. I love the organization of that. I love the way that you can kind of make decisions of, do I want to spend more in my storyboard room and creating the scene and shooting the scene that really means it's more expensive, but I get some time back. Do I want to find somewhere in the middle, or do I want to, you know, make something cheap that kind of cheapens the quality as well? Kind of making those different decisions. And I love that you are limited to shooting scenes in order. And I love the way the problems kind of affect the board state. So I don't know, like, I think for what this game is trying to do, we're trying to create a kind of a family friendly cooperative game about making a film that a lot of people can on some level resonate and appreciate. I think that this game really does what it's trying to do. Now, if right off the bat, if you don't like cooperative games, you're not going to like this game. It's just what it is. It's a cooperative game. I will say, and he mentions this in the rule book, there are specific rules for 5 and 6 players. And his mention is that for a lot of us, the rules for 5 to 6 players are going to be group dependent, if you're into the kind of thing that is the way that this thing sets up. But basically, in a 5 to 6 player game, there's a couple of rule modifications, but the big one is that there's 2 active players at a time. So you're rolling half the dice each and making a decision together. I'm not a big fan of that, but I understand wanting to keep the game moving. And there's part of me that loves the idea of having all 6 rolls out at the same time. But I really think for me, the sweet spot for this game is at 3 or 4. You can play this game solo. And there's ways to work through that. And then there's also a production company that comes in as one of the mini expansions in the base game to kind of add some more variability to how you're supposed to win the game or how you're supposed to play the game, which I think is cool. So there's a lot of thought that goes into this game from a design standpoint. And there was a lot of love. Clearly, Malachi is very much into film and loves this theme because I can see it all the way through. It's very well thought out. And I love that for something so complex, it's been made so simplified so that a family can play it very easily. So that's a lot of my thoughts. Expansions, there's several mini expansions and one bigger box expansion. And like I said, reading the description, I'm wrong. That's promo. Let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4. We're up to 5 mini expansions now with various themes on movies. You got disaster, spy thriller, Christmas, murder mystery, superhero. And then the bigger box is the B-movie expansion box. It really looks like it adds more themes. There's now Western, sci-fis, fantasies. Like, there's 5 more themes on top of the 5 that you already had. And then there's other more stuff, which I think is cool. I love that you want to add more to this game because I think that the more, the better, and more variety that you can add in. But yeah. I really think that this game kind of lived up to what I wanted it to be, and I'm very happy about that. I will say, as far as player interaction as a cooperative game, I like, first off, the designer clearly hates alpha gaming. That was very obvious in his rules explanation, and it's kind of obvious throughout the game, which I love. I love that. It was really funny to watch him kind of navigate that. But, I love that in a cooperative game that is kind of addressed. It is very much up to the active player how decisions are made about who gets to go into those production meetings, where dice are assigned, all of that stuff. But I also still felt like we could collaborate as a group. It wasn't so limiting that it was just that player takes their turn, we all watch them take their turn, and then we keep going around the table. So I think it has the right amount of player interaction for a cooperative game. All right, so I think that's pretty much it. I think this is a really good game for families. I think it's a good game for anyone who likes co-ops. If you, I know dice are weird because it can feel like bad dice rolls can really screw people over way more than like even card draw or anything like that. But there's lots of flexibility in how to use the dice. And so if you're okay with dice, then I would encourage you to give this one a go. And if you love chucking dice, then you're going to love this because there's lots of dice chucking for sure. So that's my thoughts. I would definitely encourage you to check this one out. I'll have links in the description for the how to play. The designer did a wonderful job with a how to play video. And I will also give links for where to go and find this game. Thank you all so much for listening. And if you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com. Or find us on BoardGameGeek. Or you can find us at our website, thegametablepodcast.com. All these links are in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, if that's your thing, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Ashley McCaffrey for our cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, to Alexi Chisolin for the How to Play background music, and once again to Keen Bean Studios for a review copy. Join us next week as we head over to the kids' table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.